Okay, this morning the way we're going to do this is I want you to get to know Chris and Summer, not just the ministry that they're involved in, that's going to be part of it, but we want to get to know them and how God has worked in their lives to bring them to the place where they are today. So I'll have both of you come up here right now, and we're going to start with Chris, and I'd like for you, Chris, just to step up to the mic, if you will, and just share your background, how you came to know Jesus Christ, or just a little bit about you, okay?
Well, so good to see you. Just been a beautiful morning already, so thank you for your warm welcome to us and just your openness to invite us into your fold. And so we consider it an honor. I was born in a small town just a ways from here called Clearwater. You might have heard of it. So I'm a remnant. I'm still around. So it was good. I was born and raised in Clearwater, Florida, to a wonderful family, wonderful parents, and wonderful grandparents. And I got the awesome opportunity to start going to church early in life, thanks to my grandparents and my aunt and my family. See, I had young parents, real young parents. And so when you have real young parents, the best thing you can do for your child is get them to grandma and grandpa's house. So that's where I spent a lot of time. And at the age of 10, we happened to be going to a small church you might know, Starkey Road Baptist Church. So we were attending Starkey Road, and at the age of 10 in Sunday school, I was led to the Lord through flannel graphs and all of that wonderful thing in Sunday school. So at the age of 10, I met the Lord, and my life was just weekend after weekend of just going to my grandparents' house. So I would go to school during the week, and then Friday nights they would come pick me up, and then they would return me home Sunday evening. And so that was just life for me for a while. And then life kind of got broken a bit. In my 13, 14-year-old time frame, my parents were separated. They got a divorce, and that just sent off a ripple effect into my life that kind of forced change and forced me to move around. And so that kind of security that I had going through my grandparents' house and going to church kind of just faded away. And so from the age of 13 to the age of 24, I was in the world, and the world had me right where it wanted me. And so that's kind of where I landed and kind of how things happened for me. And then I ran into a young, lovely woman. And she has a story to tell.
Okay. Step in?
Okay.
Step right up.
So we have this little tag team thing we do with our story because they're just so intertwined. So I did not grow up in a Christian household. I grew up in a very broken household, a lot of addictions in my household. And I grew up in Idaho. I'm a mountain girl. I drove a truck, was my first car. And I like to wear cowboy boots, and that's kind of who I am. So my dad worked for a corporation, and we ended up moving to Florida from Idaho, of all places. It was my senior year of high school. And so that was really, really hard, hard time for me. But I decided, you know what, when am I going to get a chance to live in Florida? So I went ahead. My parents gave me the choice to go or stay. I had a boyfriend of 3 years at the time. And so I decided to go. And so some people from school invited me to a place, and I ended up meeting this guy. And I'm like, ooh, I think I'm going to be with this man. Just had a feeling.
Ooh, remember.
So we didn't switch numbers or anything, but he ended up finding me, and we started dating my senior year of high school. Time goes past. I end up dragging him out of Florida and moving him to Idaho. We wanted to get out and wanted to see, what other things were like. And so we moved to Idaho. We got married out in Idaho. And one day, his mom, who was Catholic in background, had sent him a book called Left Behind. Anybody heard of Left Behind? Okay, that's been around for a while. Now, mind you, in the background, Chris's grandparents had been praying and praying, and his aunt had been praying and praying for us to come to the Lord. Now, mind you, he was saved at 10, but I didn't know anything about the Lord, and we didn't attend church. I knew enough to know what John 3:16 was. I heard it some point in my background. But I just lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
You're doing good.
You're doing good, kiddo.
So the
stay close to the mic.
Sorry.
There we go.
I do have a loud voice, so sorry, sound guys, if I get too loud.
You're doing good.
So they had been praying for us and sending us cassette tapes of their pastor preaching. And so
you listened to all of them.
No. They actually sat and on our kitchen table because I couldn't throw anything away from Grandma and Grandpa and Aunt Bev. And so they kept stacking up on the table, and I knew enough to ask Chris kind of what that book is about, because he's like, it's boring. So I picked it up. I'm a reader. He worked overnights, and he goes, yeah, it's based on the book of Revelation. Well, one of those tapes says Revelation on it. What's that about? So I started listening to some of the cassette tapes of him preaching. And so one night when Chris was gone at work, I accepted the Lord as my Savior, home alone, between listening to the cassette tapes and reading that book. I was scared into my salvation. Praise Jesus.
That's okay.
And so that's where my story began there. So.
Yeah, so that happened. I come home and Summer's excited. I mean, just a thrill. And she's like, Chris, I did something. And we lived in an apartment. I'm like, What did you do? Do I need to fix something? What's going on? She's like, No. I think I'm saved. And I remember, I can clearly remember standing there. And I think the life just came out of me. And I stood there and I was staring at Summer. And I, for the first time, realized, wow, this is for real. And when I was standing there, I could see Summer right in front of me, just like this. And I could see Jesus Christ standing right next to her with his arm around her like this. And I remember that feeling of like, hey, it's your move, pal. And I remember standing there, I'm like, and I just, if I had a white flag, that would have been my moment. I in my heart, I just said, God, I'm yours. I can't do this anymore. And so we were saved. We were like, this is it. Now what do we do? I don't know. But I know the one person we need to call, and that was home. That was Grandma and Grandpa and Aunt Ann and Uncle Billy and Bev. We needed to call those people because those people were investing in us and praying for us, and they needed to hear what God had done, and he did it, and it happened.
And that's Bev, right?
This is Bev, that's right.
And so the tears and the joy and the thing and the whole, and so we decided, hey, we need to come to Florida. We need to visit. And so that's what we did. We got on a plane and visited Florida. And when we visited Florida, we went to a little larger church called Starkey Road Baptist Church. As a matter of fact, it was the one-year anniversary of the newest building.
Yeah.
So we showed up on the one-year anniversary. We didn't know any better. I knew better. I knew the whole layout, but we didn't know any better. And we rolled into church in 2000, the year 2000. We rolled into church and said, okay, here we are. We're saved. Now what do we do? We didn't know what to do, so we were like, hey, we know they know what to do, so we better hang out with them for a while.
So here's the funny thing. The only form of church I really saw was on TV, and so I'm sitting in the pew, not knowing Bev is sitting next to me, praying that I would go forward or whatever. I had no idea. But I'm sitting there praying, and we're singing the last song, and I'm like, okay, I got to go forward, but there's going to be so many people coming to the Lord and going forward that I need to hurry up and get up there quick because I don't want to have to be last. So before the song was over, I was up out of the pew and heading forward before Bev could lift her eyes to know I was gone. And I'm like, well, where's everybody else?
And so we had a wonderful service that day.
Okay, and then, and I just told him this morning,
Okay, I reach into my files because I filed everything, and I picked up this email, and I'm like, what in the world? And it's back in February of 2000, and it's from him to me. And I, just so you know, I got his permission. I read this to him this morning, and I said, do you care if I share this with the congregation? He goes, no, that's wonderful. I said, do you remember this sending this email? He goes, no, I really don't.
I told him I didn't know we emailed back.
Yeah, right. Okay. And so with his permission, I'm going to read this to you. Hi, this is Chris Wright. I wanted to thank you for the life-changing service Sunday. Summer is growing daily and is very thankful that you came into her life and opened the door of salvation for her to understand and thrive upon. We pray daily for you and everyone at Starkey Road. When we got back to Boise, we found out that we owe the IRS money this year. This is the first time we have ever had to pay, so it was a little shocking. Summer's response was not at all what I expected to hear. She said, you know what? Isn't it nice to have Jesus in control of our lives, and for once we don't have to worry about it? She also said that when she went up to the front Sunday morning, it wasn't because she wanted to, it was because she had to. There was no question of doubt or doubt in her mind. I think there could have been 10,000 people there, and she could not have been, and could have been seated in the back, and she still would have been the first one up there. I asked her later what she thought about the whole day and the atmosphere she was in. And she replied that she felt like she finally belonged somewhere and felt more love and connection than ever before. I could go on and on about the life-changing events that took place while we were in Florida, but I really want to request one thing. Can you and everyone else keep us in your prayers that we may understand what the Lord wants us to do so that we may steer our lives in that direction? And it's signed, Prayers and Thankfulness, Chris and Summer Wright. By the way, there's a P.S. on here. It says, don't worry about twisting my arm too much, Pastor. We pray every day that the Lord will lead us back to Starkey someday. And I'm sure Grandma, Grandpa, and Bev pray enough for all of us on that subject. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And
wow.
And just to tag on to that, just so you know, we got on that plane from visiting Starkey Road that time. We got on that plane, and I remember sitting on the plane, and Summer and I looked at each other, and we gave that look to each other, and we said, well, looks like we're moving to Florida. And wow. That was just on the way home. And so we got back to Boise. We sold everything we had. And we spent the next 15 years just absolutely immersed at Starkey Road. And it was it was such building blocks for our faith and building blocks for who we are. And so we can't thank you enough.
Well,
so,
and I'm telling you, to have them standing up, for me to be up here, standing here with them, I have the greatest love and respect for them. And like this email was just like over the top. I mean, it was unexpected. I had no idea. It's been in my file all these years. But then just to be reminded of your commitment, and I remember you going forward and all of that, and just to review this. So I'm so thankful for both of you. And interesting that it ends with, please pray for us so that we'll know what we're supposed to do with our lives. And they end up being a full-time ministry. Who would have thought at that time? You wouldn't have been the two I would have picked at that time. No, I'm just kidding. But that's how God works. And God may work in your life that way, too. You want to add anything else, Summer, to this? Or? Chris. If not, we're going to turn it back to him, and we're going to go sit down. How's that?
That sounds fine.
Okay, Chris. God bless you, man, as you share. Thanks.
You know, I will say that one of the people that challenged me dearly in my walk is Pastor Busby. I was just thinking as we're up here looking at him. I remember we were so excited to serve and to walk into whatever the Lord wanted for us. We ran right to the youth room. I remember we ran right to the youth room and said, Coach, put us in. We want to minister to youth. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold it up. We need to grow a little here. And we're like, well, okay, where you want us? And they said, well, maybe you should just go to Awana, go serve in Awana. I think that was their way of saying, hey, just go talk to Pastor Busby. Maybe he could figure it out. So I went to Pastor Busby. I said, all right, I was told to come see you. We need to be in Awana. Put us in. And I remember one of the first things he said to me, he said, yeah, that might work. But one of the first things you're going to have to do is take the earrings out of your ears. You remember? You know? And I thought, you're just in the zone, man. You're just in the zone, and you're like, I totally forgot. But those are those moments, those are those moments in life where something comes at you like that, and you have to make a decision. Man, and I remember I could care less. I was like, you got it. Put those in my pocket, and they never went back in my ears. So thanks. Oh, it's so good. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to be in Luke 8 this morning. Luke chapter 8. As you're turning there, I just want to clue you in on what we are doing this summer at Camp Gilead. We're running a detective theme this year. And so it is our goal and our hope that we would allow children to discover and seek out and learn the identity of Christ and their identity in Christ. And so that's our hope and that's our goal this year for camp. So as you're praying, please be praying for those students and those campers that they would understand and comprehend identity. And that's kind of our key thing this year. So Luke 8 starts, let's start at verse 4, and I'll get there, Luke 8 too. It says, and when the great crowd was gathering, and people from the town, from town after town, came to him and said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and it grew up, and it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things, he called out, and he who has ears, let him hear. I want you to understand, there was four things in there that brought death. And there was one thing in there that brought life. Verse 9. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for the others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And Jesus did them a wonderful favor and us a favor. He said, now this is the parable. Here's what it means. I want to talk to three groups of people this morning. I've never met the majority of you, but I know that when we enter into God's word, it speaks to every single heart differently. And so I want you to hear what God is saying, and then I want you to just truly answer in your heart, what is that? And so three groups of people this morning. First group is found in verse 12. So he says this, the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, and so that they may not believe and be saved. You know, growing up at Starkey, under Pastor Lancaster, he would always tell us, hey, see that word? Hey, see that passage? Hey, see that? Circle that. Underline that. Put a box around that. My Bible's full of circles, boxes, and underlines. Constantly. And I still do it to this day. And so I challenge you, and I hope that you do the same, is write in your Bible. Just write in it. And circle things. And so this morning I want you to circle, have heard. So my first group of people are the have-heards. And you know these people. You might be one of these persons. Have heard. Oh yeah, I've heard that. Oh yeah, I've been to church. I've tried that. It happens at camp all the time. Oh yeah, I've been to camp. I've tried that. Yeah, it didn't work. They're the have-heards. Something happened when they heard something. Satan was right there waiting and whoosh, he took it away. Whether it was whether it's a phone that distracts you, maybe it's your own thoughts that are distracting you. For those of you old enough and you have kids, maybe it's the kids that are distracting you. Something distracts you and Satan is ready and willing to take that away from you. And he does it all the time. Put your finger here. This is what Pastor taught me. You got to put your finger here because then if you don't, then we spend too much time looking back. So you got to put your finger here and go to John 12. Listen to what Jesus says about the have-heards. John chapter 12, verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it must have been thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to them. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, and here it comes, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Pay close attention to this. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah must be fulfilled. The have-heards. Oh yeah, I've heard that. Oh yeah, I've heard that. Oh yeah, I heard what Jesus said about that. Verse 13, we're back in Luke 8, verse 13. So we have heards. Verse 13, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, oh, they receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in times of testing, they fall away. Verse 14, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. So my second group of people are the hearers. My first group was the have-heards. They are in the past. Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Now my second group is the hearers, and they're hearing things that they enjoy, that brings joy to them, it just said. It brings joy to them. This happens constantly in our world, constantly at camp. Think about it. Someone goes to camp for a week, and for an entire week, they get what we do on Sunday mornings, constantly, every day. I think we figured it out that a child at camp for a week goes to more church than an adult does all year. So in 1 week of camp, a child is going to some sort of Bible training throughout the day for a week, and they are going so many times that it equals a year's worth of church. That's how much. So they receive it with joy. It's fantastic. But you all know, if you've been in ministry long enough, what happens when they go home? What do we hear when they come back? Oh, yeah, that lasted a week. Or, you know, oh, yeah, that, I mean, that worked for a little while. Why? Well, Jesus tells us why. Put your finger there one more time. Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 18. And a ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And when I read scripture like this, I think of things. I can think of that rich young ruler. So I brought a little. I think of the rich young ruler like this. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go. Go, Jesus, say it. Do not murder. Check. Do not commit adultery. Check. Can you hear him? Do not steal. I didn't do that. Do not bear false witness. Did that. Honor your father and mother. Did that. And we know he did this because listen to what it says right next. He said, "Jesus, this is fantastic. All these things I have done since my youth. Hallelujah. This is joyful. This is great news for me." Huh? When Jesus heard this, he said, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. See, he was a hearer. He liked what he heard. He wanted something that was being offered. He just didn't want to take it the next step. He didn't want to follow. See, Summer and I were faced with that. When we got on that airplane to come back to Boise, Idaho, we looked at each other and said, "You know what? We got to go to Florida." And what does that look like? I don't know, but we got to sell everything we have and see, we weren't a have heard. We weren't a hearer. We were this next group. But this next group, they have something different. See, the have heards and the hearers, they have action, but they have no classification. And what I mean is, the first two groups that we've looked at, they have no identity. They've heard some things. They've done some things maybe. Maybe they've gone on a missions trip or what have you. But there's no identity. They just have they have no classification whatsoever. They're just hearers and they're just moving on with life. So we got to ask ourselves, well, how do I move on? Verse 15. "As for that in good soil, they are those hearing." I underline that word because that's continual. They're hearing the word. They hold it fast. It's firm. They grip it. They don't let it go, right? In an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. You don't have to put your finger here anymore. So last passage. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll end with this. See, these hearing people, they have identity. They're continually searching scriptures. They're continually in prayer. They're continually singing a song in their heart. They're continually doing something to get that into that soil. That's all Summer and I have done. There's no magic formula. There's no nothing. It's this. Honestly, it's this. There is no other. We stay in this. We sing songs in our heart and we pray. And we say, God, whatever you want us to do, we'll do. Colossians chapter 3. Now, this chapter, you have to circle the word put. P-U-T. So every time you hear my voice say put, you have to circle that. Because put is an action. Put requires something of you. And that's what we're after. Okay? Chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Y'all know this verse. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For if you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And here we go. First one, put to death what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked. That was my testimony. I walked there. When you were living in them, but now you must put, circle it again, you must put them all away. Put what all away? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put, circle it, off the old self with its practices and have put, circle it again, on the new self. You took something off, you put something on. You were identified with the world. You disassociated yourself with the world. You put on Christ. You now identify with Christ. This is your new identity. Put on the new self, which is being renewed. How? In the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Here we go. Put, circle it. Put on what? As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you must also forgive. And above all these, circle it again, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word, here it is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's our soil. Let it get down in there. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And here's how we can do it. Sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God. And whatever you do, do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. And I don't know where you land today. I don't know if you're a have heard. I don't know if you're a hearer. Or if today you're sitting here and you're saying, I'm hearing you. But that's something you're going to have to answer. That I'm going to have to answer. And that I'm going to have to spend this week doing something. So I'm praying for you this week. We at Camp Gilead, we love to pray. And so we're praying for you this week. Wherever that heart lands. Grandparents, don't give up. I'm telling you, I'm standing here because of the prayers of grandparents and aunts. It was nonstop. And what they were doing was they were planting those seeds in deep down in good soil, knowing and trusting that God was going to raise it up. And I'm standing here before you. There's no way that would have happened if I didn't have people doing that. There's no way. And there's no way I can continue to do this. We're at camp. We have kids all around us. And there's no way we can do what we do without you helping us. But for you to help us, I need you to have good soil. I need you to plant deep down in that. And I need your identity to be in Christ and not the world's. So as you think of us and as you pray for us, we exhort you and we know and we feel what you're sending to us. So please do not give up. And do not take for granted the power of planting in good soil.
With the leadership of the Lord here. This is just me. Because God, that is a great message. And I wonder if there's some of you out here right now. And maybe you've given invitations so many times. I don't know, you give the invitation, have them come stand here, and you pray, and then have a special prayer for them.
Sure.
But I'll say a few words. I'm going to let you tag off of this. I don't know where you are in your life right now. Is it possible that this morning, though maybe you didn't come here for this reason, you're sitting there saying, oh, God, I mean, are you calling me to go into some kind of missions or career ministry or to serve the Lord in some way? I mean, let me just go a step further. You know, I thought I'd been planning. I was going to be a businessman. I was going to do whatever. But God, do you want me to go into some kind of ministry? At this point, you would have no idea where, how. I get that. Because in a church service, I went to that service that one night, not planning on leaving General Motors, the Chevrolet division of General Motors I've been with for 5 years, and then to turn around and go into the ministry. That was the last thing I thought that I would be able to do. But that's when I went home and talked to Joy. Maybe you're there. If you are, in just a moment, just come up here and just stand here, and we'll include you in this prayer. You say, well, I don't know that I'm supposed to be going into the ministry. Okay. So you're sitting here in church. We beg and plead and beg and plead. I'm not mad. For workers to help us with the children, for children's church and all the rest. And we never have enough people to volunteer. I'm not mad. But it is a burden. And they didn't ask me to say this. And today you would say, okay, you know what, Lord, I don't know how to do all of that, but I have enough heart for kids. Maybe I'll come stand up here and I'll just go, I'll volunteer. And if they need me some week or whatever, and we can take it from there. Or maybe God wants you. I've been meeting with the young adults. I wonder if there are young adults that ought to be helping with the teaching. I don't mean take my place per se, but just be teachers in our church and get other young adult groups together or young couples. I don't know. I have no idea what the Lord might have spoken to you about. We're not going to question you, okay? But, okay, you want to add anything to what I've just said, Chris?
I would just say, look, we've talked this morning about your heart. It's personal. It's tender. I get it. It's tender for us every day. And we look at these little ones every day, and their heart is tender. And they don't know what's going on. Their hearts are broken. They're coming from homes that are just destroyed. And I'm telling you, they want what we have. They really do. They just don't know what to do about it. And we have the answers. Mm-hmm. We have it right here. Mm-hmm. I don't know this book by heart. But I know enough to say, mm-hmm. I know enough to say this. And I know enough to say, God, I want this to be the soil. And so again, I don't know where you are today in your heart. But we need to move from the have-heards and the hearers. We need to move that heart down the ways. He says, look, follow me. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. Just follow me. And I will make you these things. Yeah. That's all Summer and I did. We just said yes.
Yeah.
And that was it. And he's taken us from there.
Mm-hmm. And on the script, okay. And for some of you are saying, okay, well, if I don't go stand at the front, everybody's going to think, no, we're not. We're not. It's not like every single person has to come down, stand here for the prayer. That doesn't mean you don't love the Lord. Let's get that out of our heads, please. Let's not go there. But today, this is one time you feel like you need to be prayed for. And so we're going to sing a song. Let you come. Just stand here at the front. If anybody comes, if nobody comes, that's fine. If 2, 10, I don't know. You get out of your pew, come up here and stand at the front while we're singing. When we finish the song, then I'm going to have Chris to pray for all of you, whoever's up here. Okay? So let's do it that way. Okay? You ready with a song, Lee? Ready to go? Let's sing together. Everyone stand, if you will, please. Whatever verse, now, if you're going to come, just come and stand here at the front. And be included in this particular prayer if God's spoken to you maybe in some special way. Okay. All righty. And I appreciate those of you who've come. And I know all of us are praying for each other. And Chris, why don't you step up here behind the mic? And again, you don't know these folks. And we don't know all the decisions or in their heart or what the burden is. It doesn't matter. But this will be the closing prayer. Just pray for them. And again, I guess for me, because I saw them before and after, my goodness. But notice, they just simply said, okay, you know what? Hands off, we're giving it to the Lord. I don't know where this is headed. It's just so thrilling to be here and have him up here speaking. It just is a great blessing to me. So anyway, okay, I've said more than I need to.
No pressure.
Okay. All right, Chris. Just pray whatever the Lord's leading may be on for these folks.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, the one who is and is to come, the one who gave us breath of life today, the one who brought us into this service and has, by his Spirit, has moved in the hearts of men and women and children. Father, those who stand before you right now with their palms unclenched, wanting to serve you from this day forward, Father, may you take that seed, the one that Satan wants to steal and destroy. May you take that seed and bury it deep into good soil. Oh God, I just ask that every person standing here would commit step by step, moment by moment. May they trust you with their whole life. And as you've taught us in your word and have promised in your word that if we trust in you with all of our heart, and if we lean not on our own understanding, and if we acknowledge you in all our ways, you will direct our paths. You promise, Lord, and you don't go back on those promises. And so, Father, I commit every single person in this service to you. May you work in them this week. In Jesus' name, amen.